The forecast for today, after the dense morning fog once again, it's sunshine and we'll have a high close to 80. Some 36 We Energies employees left the Racine Service Center yesterday in the fog. They were heading out to the southeast area of the U.S., going to try to put power back in the wake of Hurricane Irma. The utility's Kathy Schultz was there. She said that they were going to stop first in Georgia, noting that some of these individuals had already done restoration work with other big storms. She indicated they did not know where they'd be staying exactly or under what conditions, noted that some who had worked on the East Coast after Hurricane Sandy, well, they slept in trailers.
It could very well be a hardship. Plus, they're saying goodbye to their families for a couple of weeks, saying goodbye to kids, missing soccer games, that sort of thing. But you know what? They're happy to do it because at the end of the day, this is why they got into this line of work. You talk to any of these guys and they'll say that that's why they do what they do. They really enjoy helping people. They want to get the lights back on.
Most of those 34 workers, line mechanics, about a half a dozen support staff, the utility also releasing about 100 contract employees, allowing them to take part in the effort. The Sunshine Market was closed months ago in Racine at 16th Street and Taylor Avenue as a nuisance property, and it's been up for sale. Well, now with a proposal, there's a transformation going to take place, make it into an office for Greenspan Home Health Care. City Plan Commission hearing from Deputy Development Director Matt Sadowski. First floor, the former grocery store space, that's what's targeted. Upstairs apartment space, that's controlled by the building's owner.
This property will have a lower traffic generation than the convenience store that was there. Just the fact of that being the case, the ordinance does not require them to provide any additional parking. So any type of parking that they can arrange with neighboring property owners is kind of a bonus.
Conditional use permit applicant Nina Yates explained they already have a Milwaukee location. As for the upstairs space in Racine, well, that may be rented at some point, but she says they're going to be very careful about that.
We've been open for approximately 3 years, and the most that they will ever see is maybe 2 to 3 PCWs, which are personal care workers, coming in and out, signing timesheets and things like that. So parking, I really appreciate Miss Annabelle coming forward and telling us that we can park somewhere, so that will alleviate at least the employees.
Commissioner Ann Broda called the cooperation with the neighbors a really good sign for the facility. Mayor Dennis Weiser said it's a dramatic turnaround for the site. The recommendation now goes to the Common Council. The Racine County Traffic Safety Commission is meeting at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Isgrove Office Complex. Among the agenda items, discussion, possibly a recommendation, on the number of rollover accidents of late. Also an update on the request to reduce the speed from the current 45 miles per hour on Highway B in Dover down to maybe 25 or 30. Also, the Racine County Public Works, Parks, and Facilities Committee is meeting at 6 o'clock tonight, also at the Isgrove Building. The agenda for that includes writing grants toward reducing the goose population at Pritchard Park, ahead of the Aquatic Center, and maybe a resolution to the City of Racine about a uniform boat launch fee at the 5th Street ramp. In Madison, the State Assembly adopted the biennial budget last evening that includes provisions aimed directly at the Racine Unified School District. Representative Tom Weatherston said he's confident that the district will improve, but he still supports the provisions right now in the budget.
I've talked to Dr. Gallion and Dr. Laws, the people that are running these schools. I have great faith that they're going to fix it. They have some great plans already in motion. We've given them a lot of leeway on changing the schools. They've done some wonderful things. And I think this year, a grace period, is going to get it over the top.
The spending package now to undergo Senate scrutiny. Carthage College in Kenosha announcing that athletic director Bob Bond, who is 65 years old, plans to retire next summer in his 26th year at the school. A news release says he plans to step away after the Redmen Ladies Red Open golf outing in June next year, but he'll stay on the staff in an advisory capacity through the end of the year to help with the transition. Bond indicating that the announcement was made now to afford Carthage more time to hire his successor. Kenosha's lakefront and landscape and surrounding area going to be again transformed with the installation of 11 new outdoor sculptures. That's as of today, part of the biennial Kenosha Community Foundation Arts Fund Sculpture Walk-in Harbor Park project. This is the fourth installation of the sculpture since this was started in September of 2011. More information online, kenoshafoundation.org. A closed session of the Racine Common Council's Committee of the Whole, almost an hour on proceedings against former Machinery Row project developer Rodney Blackwell, and how the city gets control of three parcels that his limited liability company owns to create some type of development, because second developer Gorman & Company has walked away. Prior to the closed session, City Administrator Jim Paladick said it was time to tear the Band-Aid off this thing.
What clearly have been some mistakes, some questionable judgments, questions about the way the deal was structured, may have occurred, may have been perceived to occur. The opportunity exists to take full advantage of where we are and where we find ourselves.
City Development Director Amy Conley said it can still be an amazing project, but the city needs control of the land and buildings, including 900 Water Street. A Gorman study showed that facility to have some major problems.
There have been changes to this building caused by either soil failure due to overloading the building with materials on the inside, or settlement that may have occurred due to compaction of soils. Their recommendation is that it's possible that there has been loads in that building that exceed the load capacity and has probably caused some of this. There's also potential issues with soil stability, because remember, we're right against the river, and there may be issues with the seawall and its stability.
She also used the term healing the wound and moving ahead now with staff recommendations.
We would like to propose a new plan and a market study for the site. We believe that it's really important for us to get a handle on what the market looks like, because we think it's very different now that there's a potential regional economic development engine proposed. And we also believe that a new plan on a clear site without the constraints of those large buildings would look very different than our original plans.
After the hour-long closed session, the Committee of the Whole supported a 60-day window to allow staff some time for both financial and legal obligations, putting the numbers together along with other information on how to proceed in taking control of the site. Gorman & Company may be done with Racine's Machinery Row project goals, but continues to work on Kenosha's former Elks Club building, most recently called the Heritage House. It's on 8th Avenue. They're trying to renovate it into a boutique hotel complex. It is a site that once held the massive M.H. Pettit Malting Company. The Kenosha News says footings were uncovered recently in the excavation for an addition to the current building. A little history research indicates that M.H. Pettit made malt from barley, which served the beer brewing industry back around the late 18th century or early 19th century. Ironically, all the grain that was stored on site led to a massive fire that destroyed the building in 1914. 3 years after that came the Kenosha Elks Club to buy the site, put up their building, stay there until finally it closed about 20 years ago. Heritage House then followed. That also closed several years back, and now the site is once again being transformed into a new use. More than 90 minutes of closed-door discussion by the Mount Pleasant Village Board last night in reference to the ongoing search for a new village administrator. Village President Dave DeGroote indicated there was no action taken, but there are two candidates interested in the position. Police Chief Tim Zarzecki still filling in on a part-time basis, with the new project director, Claude Lois, also assisting Zarzecki with some of those duties. As to the timeline to hire the new administrator, DeGroote would only say they're working as fast as possible. And the Racine County DA's office charging 33-year-old Racine resident Melinda Talby with operating a vehicle while intoxicated and hit and run, both causing injury, plus operating with a revoked license. That for a two-vehicle crash at 16th Street and Taylor Avenue. The criminal complaint indicates her vehicle rear-ended another one stopped at the light, resulting in the other motorist needing hospital care. Talby, meanwhile, reportedly drove off, but then was found later near 12th and Harbridge. Her first court appearance included a cash signature bond and a preliminary hearing set for September 27th. Court Commissioner Alice Rudebush ordering Talby to stay away from alcohol, undergo random testing, and be tested for alcohol after each court appearance. All the speculation about where Foxconn might build that gigantic LCD screen manufacturing plant in the Kenosha-Racine area likely going to be ending soon with a formal announcement after the state legislature approves an incentives package. While in the meantime, Mount Pleasant land looking more and more like it may be the choice, based in part on what other communities are now saying. Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian cited the lack of help for his city in the next state budget in deciding to pass on Foxconn, but it turns out that Pleasant Prairie had done the same thing earlier. The Kenosha News says that there were talks with Foxconn early on in the process on the possibility of locating in Pleasant Prairie. The village president, John Steinbrink, is quoted as saying it was not a good fit for us, so they let Foxconn officials know that right off the bat. The needed 1,000 acres for that development was a problem for Prairie, along with the impact on taxpayers for building out services. The length of time required also a concern for Mayor Antaramian. In Racine, the City Plan Commission got a look at some of the detailed architectural plans for what will become the S.C. Johnson Community Aquatic Center at Pritchard Park. And that, of course, is thanks to that $6.5 million company donation. Racine County Public Works and Development Services Director Julie Anderson noted, "It's a gift that will last for generations. Also go along with the county's plans to improve the rest of the park.
There are plans to redo the ball fields on the west end of this park. We want to put a turf field off of Roosevelt Avenue, which is right now playing fields that sit below the level of the road, if you can envision that. And then also redo the ball diamonds that are just north of that along Roosevelt Avenue. So there's some real exciting things we're working on to not just the Aquatic Center, but to bring a whole lot of people back into Pritchard Park."
Blake Dyson with Ayers & Associates talked about using the existing parking lot to help set up 170 total spaces, maintaining as much green space as possible in the park, also some of the features of the buildings.
"We are settled into a multi-vessel pool, so the one vessel will contain the lap lanes and our deep well. The second vessel is a zero-depth entry with some play structures, and a good share of that water depth will be in an intermediate range suitable for lessons and water aerobics. So we're trying to capture as many different age groups as possible within the facility and provide programming for everyone."
The main entrance to Pritchard Park, he said, off Ohio Street, will also be getting an archway. The Plan Commission enthusiastically and with great appreciation supported the site and architectural plan for the pool. Groundbreaking is targeted for next month, the opening to be next summer. Nobody heard yesterday in Racine when a piece of photo equipment somehow overheated and caused a small fire at 1635 Boyd Avenue. The building had working smoke detectors. They sounded to wake up the residents in the upper and lower units. 911 calls were about an electrical smell and smoke. The damage came to about $1,000. Part of Highway 32 in the city of Kenosha, between 7th Avenue north of 35th Street and about 50th Street, that's targeted for repair and resurfacing work in less than 5 years. There's a public involvement meeting on it scheduled this evening at the Kenosha Municipal Building from 5 to 7 p.m., room 204. DOT project officials, along with city representatives, will be on hand. And yes, Virginia, that really was a kangaroo on the side of the road in Kenosha County this morning about a quarter after 7. Sheriff's Department responded out to the 7500 block of 18th Avenue, which is Highway Ellen Summers. A citizen reported a loose animal, possibly a kangaroo. A deputy arrived within minutes, confirmed it was a kangaroo, just hanging out in the morning fog. The animal apparently escaped its home at the Jerry Smith Farm at 7150 18th Street by kicking open the gate, then hopping west on 18th. Jerry Smith was contacted. A 5-year-old Joey the kangaroo safely returned to the farm without injury or injury to anybody else. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.